Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you and we just want to hear your word, hear the promises you have for us, Lord, and we want to make your word our top priority, Lord. We want to set you above all things, and we just pray that we have the hearts to do it, Lord, and we help each other on that quest. And in your name, amen. Okie doke. Well, we started, I think this is week three of this. And when we started, we were talking about Christ wearing those many crowns. And then we read some scriptures about the white robes of righteousness and then the five crowns that we can receive that the word says. And then we started to look at scripture in week two about we're told to focus on the heavenly treasure. Read scriptures on that, and to set your mind on heavenly things. And we talked about God keeping an account of stuff, he keeps track. And then the judgment seat of Christ, where each believer will be rewarded. Talked about the Laodiceans, where Jesus counseled them to buy gold from him and not be so wrapped up in earthly treasures. And we'll continue on today. God promises the rewards, and it's all over the word. We're reading all these scriptures, and scripture repeatedly tells us that God rewards his people, and heavenly rewards aren't something we have to speculate about because God specifically promises them. On Sundays, when we're talking about healing, we're talking about God's word, and God's word is God's word, and it doesn't leave us mouth void. It does what it set out to do. It is the truth. God's word is the truth, and it's the truth we know that will set us free. And we've been talking about that on Sundays regarding healing. By his stripes I am healed. He said that, so we got to make that concrete in our hearts, not using past experiences or what naysayers might say. If God's word says it, what are we doing with his word in our heart, right? So in these scriptures, we see that God specifically promises them. And one of the questions we keep asking is, how do we access God's promises? Who knows the answer? Just give me a thumbs up if you know the answer. It's faith. Nate always gets it right. I know you did. I was trying to let other people answer. All right, so just like Sundays, what we're talking about with God's word, we'll be talking about this as well. So what does God's word say? Let's look at Revelation 11:18. The nations were angry, and your wrath has come, and the time of the dead that they should be judged, and that you should reward your servants, the prophets, and the saints, and those who fear your name, small and great, and you should destroy those who destroy the earth. Do you guys see yourself in this scripture at all? Do you identify with any of this? Because I identify as a saint, And so he says, you should reward your servants, the prophets, and the saints, and those who fear your name, small and great. Yeah, I fit into that. So he's going to reward us, like he said. Matthew 16, verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Verse 27. "For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. The Son of Man will come in his Father's glory and reward each person according to his works." Everybody's going to have their own works. My works will not be your works. So I don't think we should think of heaven as everybody being equal. You know, it's going to be great regardless. You know, it's going to be great, but it's not equal because everyone's done different things according to God's judgment of the works, right? So, you know, we don't really hear that a whole lot in the world. Oh, we all just kind of die and it's a big party up there. You know, there's gonna be different levels of rewards for each according to his own work. Turn over to Matthew 24, just a few pages over. Verse 45. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. You know, so here's somebody being rewarded with, what do you call that? Somebody who rules, you know. I'm going to put you in charge, you know, of, you know, when there's a new heaven and a new earth, you know, he's going to put us in charge of cities. We won't go down that rabbit hole today, but that's way in the distant future for us. But he's going to reward that person who finds, what does it say? If I find him, blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. So he's doing it all the way to the end. Faithful servant who is found faithfully doing his master's work when he returns will be rewarded. All right. Well, Matthew 25, it's on the next page for me, verse 14. This is the parable of the talents. We've read it lots of times, but we don't have to read the whole thing, but we know that there's one he gave 5 talents to, one he gave 2 talents to, and one he gave 1 talent to. Now that's not equal, right? That's not an equal thing. It was according to what they could do, their capacity to do what the Lord needed them to do. But you have a 5, a 2, and a 1. That's not equal. So then, the first one, the 5, says, "Hey, I've doubled it for you. I've doubled it for you. Now I got 10. Well done, good and faithful servant." The other one, 2, "Hey, I doubled it for you. I got 4. Okay, one has 10 now, one has 4. This guy right here with the 1, he says, "Hey, I know that you are like this, so I just buried your money so I could get it back." Because he's pretty much saying, like, I know you're just going to take it back. And he's kind of saying, I really don't know you, is what he's saying, because he didn't take it back from these guys. He gave that reward to the first two guys. So the third guy, he didn't even know his master because he thought the master was going to take it back. But anyway, that's another story. But he says, "You're evil. Take this one that you had and give to the guy with 10." So now we have one guy with 11 and one guy with 4. Right? Is that the math? Okay, so the servants were held accountable for what they had been entrusted to them. Their faithfulness and actions determined their reward. So I'm just kind of pointing out, like, we all have the ability to go after the full reward, which I've discussed before. God doesn't only look at what we've been given, he looks at what we do with what we've been given. So we see that right there and him rewarding that. Okay, Luke 6:35. Jesus tells us to expect reward. He says, "But love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful." Love your enemies, do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. That will equal, and your rewards will be great. Turn over to Luke 12, verse 35. "Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master, when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. Jesus describes servants faithfully waiting for their master. Amazingly, when the master finds them watching and ready, he serves them. So, did you guys know that when we go to heaven, we're going to be being served by Jesus? I'm like, I never thought of that. I never realized that. But if we think about it, Jesus washed his disciples' feet. He served on earth, but he promises to serve us in heaven also, which would be like, I'd have this exact same reaction as the disciple. No, Lord, I should be serving you, you know. But this is not the way that the kingdom operates. You know, the greatest is the least, or the least is the greatest, however, you know. So those servants who are watching and waiting till the end, he serves them. So let's turn the page to Luke 14, verse 12. Then he also said to him who invited him, "When you give a dinner or a supper, do not ask your friends, your brothers, your relatives, nor rich neighbors, lest they also invite you back and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just. Give and serve those who cannot repay you. Jesus says you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just." I can give a self-testimony that when I lived in the Red Hill House, we were having some Bible studies. And Jared started to come to those Bible studies. He made it for like a few weeks. And after one of the nights when we met, he asked, "Dan, do you have a skill saw I can use?" And I go, "Yeah, I got a skill saw." And it's like, it's a really nice skill saw. Well, he borrowed it and never returned it. And when I asked him for it back, you know, he got angry with me and things got weird. But I was so mad about that skill saw. I burned with anger about that skill saw. You know, I was just fleshly, right? But reading this, if I could set my mind on things above, I will be repaid there. Forget the skill saw, you know, but instead I spent time in anger and stuff about a stupid skill saw. You know what I mean? And if I still had that skill saw, I would have got burned in the fire anyway. Who cares? But hindsight, right? But at the moment, I was wrapped up on things here on this earth. If I could remember that, hey, when stuff like this happens, he can't repay me, I'll be rewarded when the time comes. So that's why I share that story. It's really no big deal anymore. But at the moment, for a week or whatever, I was just burning with anger. So my mind was not where it was supposed to be. So the important principle here is, don't live for repayment now when God promises repayment later. If we can keep our focus on that, hey, I might have got burned here. Okay, oh well, I have a promise that he's going to repay me later. How do I access that promise?
Okay.
Okay, good. I see your mouth's moving. Allie, did you get it? Did you get the answer, Alex? Okay, good. You guys are never going to forget that phrase from now on. So we're just cementing it in. Okay. Let's look at John 4. There is reward for kingdom work. Let's talk about the kingdom. Verse 35 in John 4. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this, the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored, others have labored, and you have entered into their labors. So the one who reaps receives the wages when, so let's go back to farming. If you reap that crop, you have the goods, right? You have the goods, and what those goods, you're going to sell those goods, you're going to profit from those goods. So the one who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life. Bringing people to Christ and participating in God's harvest has eternal significance and reward. And that's what I was telling you about that crown that I don't feel like I put too much work into in my lifetime when we first started this study. Like, I want to bring people to Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Even when we can't see immediate results, God sees the work. It's not in vain. If nobody notices here, he notices. Okay, so if we can keep that in mind, maybe we can not grow weary from it. Galatians 6, verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. We reap what we sow. If we sow to the Spirit, we reap everlasting life. Don't grow weary while doing good, because in due season we will reap if we don't give up. Sometimes the harvest doesn't come immediately, just like what we're talking about with healing. Some people get healed like this. Sometimes it's a little bit over time, right? But sometimes the harvest doesn't come immediately. Think about sowing and reaping, right? Sometimes some crops grow up really fast. Some crops take a long time to grow. But what it's saying is faithfulness now equals a harvest later. 1 Peter 3, verse 5. I should have just read this to you because it goes to what I'm saying. Should have had that in my notes. 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. God has reserved for us an incorruptible, undefiled, and unfading inheritance in heaven. That inheritance, you can't moth, rust, thieves can't steal it, nothing can destroy it, right? It's super, super concrete. It cannot be, it's heavenly, right? It's not here where Satan can destroy it either. So back to Galatians 6:7 is whatever a person sows, that he will also reap. So reap, so sow into that right there. Colossians 3, we're almost done. Colossians 3, verse 23. And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ. Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. So remember this, do it for the Lord. He's the one that's going to reward you. Okay? Here on earth, let's say I do something for Micah. Hey man, I'm just going to, you know what? I got Micah on my heart. I'm going to do this for him. I do something for him, and it's like here on earth, I'm like, man, I thought, maybe Micah would show a little gratitude or something because I did that. But no, I should do it unto the Lord. Micah's not going to reward me for what I did. The Lord's going to reward me, right? If it's done for a spiritual thing, right? For advancing his kingdom. So, or if it's just serving, right? Whatever. I should not look for my reward from somebody here. I should always think of things above and think of my reward that he promises me. And I will have faith for that. So, people may never recognize what you've done. They may never thank you or repay you. But God sees it, God remembers it, and God rewards it. So, another reason why we don't grow weary, because we're going to keep that in mind. You know, I can get weary all day long if nobody ever says thank you for my efforts or whatever, right? But maybe your kids take you for granted or whatever, and it's just like exhausting and whatever, you know, but if we can remember my true rewards, the gold that I'm going to buy from Christ, that's calculating up there. He's promised me this. So let's look at this story right here, Matthew 19. Okay, Matthew 19, verse 27. We got the rich young ruler who had all this money. Jesus tells him, hey, sell everything and then, you know, and then follow me. And he walked away sad because he didn't really want to do that. Okay, so verse 27. Peter answered and said to him, see, Lord, we have left all and followed you. Therefore, what shall we have? Jesus said to them, as surely I say to you that in the regeneration, that's the new, in the new life later to come, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive a hundredfold and inherit eternal life. Now, let's look real quick. Well, let me make this point first. I think that's the way I designed it to talk about it and then look at the other same story in the. After Jesus' encounter with the rich young ruler, Peter asked essentially, we have left everything and followed you. What will we have? Jesus doesn't rebuke Peter for asking about the reward. Okay, instead, he tells the disciples that there will be a reward. He says, anyone who left houses, family, or lands for his name's sake will receive a hundredfold and inherit eternal life. So just point out that Peter wasn't rebuked for asking that. Okay, let's turn to Mark 10 and look at it in that account because it's a little bit different wording. Mark 10, 28. Then Peter began to say to him, see, we have left all and followed you. So Jesus answered and said, surely I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, who shall not receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions. Andrew always likes to bring up the persecutions part. And in the age to come, eternal life. So Mark records Jesus saying they will receive a hundredfold now in this time and in the age to come, eternal life forever. So that adds an interesting dimension to the study. God's blessing isn't necessarily restricted entirely to heaven. Jesus specifically mentions now and this time while also pointing towards the age to come. However, Jesus also includes with persecutions. So this isn't a promise that following Christ produces an easy, trouble-free life. Kingdom reward and earthly difficulty can exist at the same time. I heard Andrew say, you know, if you're getting blessed so well, you will have haters. And he was talking about that after mentioning the persecutions part. And I think of like Elon, right? Elon is a very gifted, mindful, knows how things work. He's created this big thing and he's been blessed crazily, you know. Probably not spiritual. I don't know. But here's a guy that created something and has become totally rich off of it and been blessed by the earth standards, but people hate him. So people hate on him. Oh, he should nobody should have that much money, or or whatever. Like, so there's a guy who's really blessed, but people hate him. So that's the only reason I bring up his name. He was an easy pick for me there, but I think that's what that's saying. Like, you'll get a hundredfold now in this world too, but along with it will come persecution. So just being honest with you, the Lord's just saying, just tell me straight up. That's how it's going to go. Okay, back to the Laodiceans. We've talked about them every week now, but Revelations 3, 17 and 18. The Laodiceans believed they were rich, but Jesus told them to buy gold from him. And that brings us right back to the beginning of the study. This is what the disciples did in the last two scriptures. They bought gold from Jesus. When they said, Lord, we've left everything for you. They were following him in obedience and in faith. And Jesus tells them what their rewards are going to be. This is buying gold from Jesus. So that was a good example of buying gold from Jesus there. So what does God consider valuable? Earthly wealth can disappear. Earthly recognition can disappear. Earthly accomplishments can disappear. But what is done for Christ and his kingdom has eternal value. So, to sum it all up, God promises the reward, just like he has all kinds of promises for us in his word. And how do we access those promises? Okay, good. So God promises reward. He entrusts us with something. Could be spiritual gifts, could be what it, talents, whatever. We faithfully use it for his kingdom. We may not see the reward immediately, but we don't grow weary or give up. God remembers our work, and the harvest and reward come because he promises it. So, here's an important note. We shouldn't serve God only to get something from him, but neither should we ignore rewards when God himself repeatedly tells us about them. I don't do the good things I do because I'm just trying to rack up credits. I do the good things I do because Christ is in me and I abide in him and his spirit comes through in me, right? And it's that relationship that I have with him and the things that he's able to do through me will rack up rewards. So I don't do this self-works thing because I'm thinking like I'm hearing slot machine coins dropping or whatever. You know what I mean? So it's not, that's the point I really want to make here. I'm not going to ignore the fact that he promises all these things that we've written. How many, I mean, we've read so many scriptures on this. And so it's in the word for a reason. We should know about them, just like we know about healing. The promise of reward gives us an eternal perspective when obedience is costly. Or service goes unnoticed, or giving requires sacrifice, or we're tempted to quit. Remember Colossians 3:2, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. What we do for the Lord is never wasted. That's it. Any discussion points on it?
That was good, Danny. I'm sorry that I was thinking that just you summed it up. Everything I was thinking, you summed it up at the end. We just have to stay close to the Lord and hear his voice on what to do. And then when we do that, we don't have to worry about, we're not doing it on our own. We're not thinking about all the good deeds we want to run out and do on our own, but we're doing what he's asking us to do. And I don't know, I think it's really good that you're pointing out that all the scriptures that say, yeah, we'll be rewarded for it. And I was also thinking about the person who got one talent. I wonder if that's the person, and I've been that person who kind of like is like, oh, maybe I have that talent, but oh, I don't know what to do with it. And I just don't, and I bury it. So, I mean, all of a sudden I was kind of seeing it as, yeah, I gotta be the person with five talents and multiply them. So sorry. Anyway, that's
Yeah,
it. And
gotcha.
I, okay,
Oh,
yeah,
one.
respond, but I can't see you.
Oh well, the one that it said God promises the reward. He entrusts us with something. He entrusted that guy with the one, and we faithfully use it for his kingdom. That's what the guy didn't do.
Makes sense.
And just to put a note on that too, the master said, "Well done, good and faithful servant." It wasn't "well done, good and fruitful servant." It wasn't about what he went out and did. It was the fact that he was faithful with it. It wasn't about the results. It was, about him just
Responding.
them just going down and doing, being faithful to the master.
Good point.
Yeah, I really like that one, two, and five talent point because it's exactly like what you're saying. It wasn't equal or even across the board, and so I just thought that was a good thing to bring up too. Kind of helped my brain wrap around that idea, but I just kept writing down. I think by the third time I wrote it down, I go, I think I keep writing mindset. Just kept writing the mindset about don't live for repayment now and God promises repayment later. Just have that be your mindset, the way that you live. Do it for the Lord. He's the one who rewards you. Like all these.
If you have that mindset, it could keep offense away.
Yes. Yes, and I feel like your skill saw analogy was, I've been there. I've been offended about things, and then lately I feel like less so. And even like I had a situation where like I collect the fees for our softball team, and I knew that there was one family was out of work, and I just said, whatever you come up with, I'll match your fees, and we got it paid off. Well, somebody else found out about it, and they were like, "Don't you know that guy's always wasting his money and this and that?" And I'm like, "I don't care. I know what I was doing it for. Like, I wanted to help him out. I wasn't offended at all. Like, it was like a big shift and change, and it felt good to do it, and just left it at that. I don't know if that's the opposite example for the skill saw thing, but."
We're going to look at a verse next week where it says, even if you've given just a cup of water to one of my people, I'm going to remember it.
Yeah.
So even the littlest things that you do.
But I feel like people might wanna like try to steal that from you. You know what I mean? Like somebody could rile you up and be like, "Did you ever get that skill saw back?" Get you all riled up again. But if your mindset is in the right place, then you're like, it doesn't matter. I know why I did what I did, and you just leave it at that. So, anyways, it was good. I'm really enjoying this study. I know I seemed really confused last time, but I feel better about it now, so that's good.
That's really good, Deanna. I like what you shared.
And we have that other verse where maybe it makes us think that things are equal, because remember the parable where they're all out in the field, and then the ones who came later in the day got exactly the same reward as they did. But the point at the end of that was, what do you care what I do with my generosity? Don't put my generosity in earthly terms, in earthly hourly math or whatever, you know what I mean? So that I think that's why we can think like that, but maybe we shouldn't worry about his generosity and how he dishes it out. You know what I mean? We good? We all talked out? Okay. Well, Mikers, why don't you pray us out of here, and we'll start getting ready for bed.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to get together tonight and hear your word. Just thank you for this word that you bring through Dan. I pray that you will just continue to really let it sink in our hearts, Lord, and speak to us through this, and just help us to continue to have the right mindset, the right heart posture towards all of this for you and what you're wanting to show us through all of this, Lord. I pray that you bless the rest of the night for everyone. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen.